Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Welcome, friends, to High Rollers Presents The Curse of Strahd, a gothic horror adventure of chills, thrills, and many blood spills. I am your Dungeon Master, Mark Humes, and the players joining me are as follows. Chris Trott as Jesper the Vistani Bard, Kim Richards as Shadows Beyond the Veil, a Tabaxi Cleric, Katie Morrison as Rose Vanandi, the Human Ranger, Tom Hazel as Zeros Mistan, the Dragonborn Fighter, and Rhiannon Gower as Zeki Mistan, the Dragonborn Sorcerer. The travellers had arrived in the old abandoned home of the former burgomaster of Valaki in search of a clue that would reveal more information about Strahd von Zarovich, the Dark Overlord of Barovia. Here the party encountered a vampire spawn, a servant of Strahd, a former dragonborn adventurer, and a tense battle followed. Luck seemed against the party, but after discovering the secret to the vampire's regeneration, thanks to Zeki and Shadow, the party slowly gained the upper hand. Sadly, as she tried to flee, Zeki was grabbed, and the vampire spawn fed deep on her blood, leaving her an empty, withered corpse. In rage, Zeros chased the spawn down as it tried to escape, and with a final arrow from Rose, the creature was slain. Now the party must deal with the aftermath of these terrible events. There is any good news of all of this. It is that as the vampire spawn dies, whatever fell magic kept the ghoul animated that had been rushing up the stairs ready to engage Shadow and Rose crumbles, and the withered corpse falls away into chunks and piles of flesh and rotting meat as it does so. And you are all left in a very quiet, very still house. But before we jump to all of you, Zeki.
Here we go.
You remember the sensation of the fangs biting into your neck, reaching out for Zeros, calling his name. And then not much else. You feel your body become heavy. You stumble, and you find yourself not in the house as you remembered it, but what you think appears to be a wooded path. You can hear a song, a pleasing woman's voice singing to you in a melody of life and joy and enrapture, but it's distant, like muted behind too many stone walls, and you can feel a presence reaching out for you. But you know that it cannot reach you where you are. You find yourself surrounded by the white mists, unsure where to go, where you are, knowing only that death has taken you.
Ooh. I love dying. Yeah. Great.
Is there any immediate, does Zeke do anything immediately? Is there, what's Zeke kind of feeling and thinking right now?
I think she's thinking a lot about her childhood, a lot about mistakes that she's made in the past, things that she wished she could have put right. I think she's trying to think back to happier times, to when life was simple, life was good, and not being in this terrible place. I think she just wants to be back home as a child with her brother. Just,
you can feel
playing
that
in the sun.
Desire. You feel that desire. You can feel Lyra like wanting to give you that. You can feel this sense that if you could just reach her, that Lyra the Joybringer would grant you that. That she wants to make you happy. That you know that for all of your service, all of your life that you've dedicated to making others happy, that all she wants is to be able to provide you with that last desire. But as you kind of move through the mist, trying to find this source of music, trying to reach out to a hand that you know is reaching for you, you just find nothing but mist and fog. Back in the house, temporary, we're going to be doing a lot of jumping around this episode. We currently have everybody else. I believe that Xeros, Ismark are all outside. You had jumped on the body of the Dragonborn to try and slow him down. Rose, Shadow, and Jesper are currently at the top of the stairs by the window looking down on this scene. And you know that Irina had been left with the body of Zeke. What is everyone doing?
I think Shadow would immediately go back to Zeke and just confirm, she would be trying to do Spare the Dying. She would be trying to do whatever she can. But I think just confirm that.
Yeah,
you
channel the magic of Spare the Dying. It has no effect. There is a sense in you as you feel the power of your mistress flowing through your body, as the darkness touches Zeke's body, and you know that, yeah, that soul has left the body. But then there is this haunting, not realization, but almost a voice kind of whispering in your mind, the dead cannot leave Barovia. You know that Zeke's soul could not go to where it's supposed to in the realms. You know, it cannot go into the celestial planes or the nine hells, though you would suspect that Zeke would be bound for the celestial realms, not anywhere else. But you know, Shadow, this is your domain. Her soul is trapped within this demiplane, within this realm of Barovia. She cannot leave, but her body is dead and cannot be healed. The blood has turned her into a withered husk. Like, her limbs have become shrunken. Her, scales, any kind of fullness to her. She looks more like a dissected, kind of like a withered skeleton.
Desiccated.
Or like a drow. Yeah. Yeah. A desiccated corpse. Yeah, desiccated. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about anybody else? Anything else from anyone else?
Yeah, I'd rush over to check as well, noticing that Zeke was just still on the floor. Mm-hmm. Is there anything we can do, Shadow?
I'm afraid not. She has been defiled and her soul is gone. I'm sorry, friends. There is nothing I can do.
No, this can't be. The Taroka cards. Madam Ava, this party was going to change everything here. At least that's what I thought our destiny would be. We can't lose one of us. What would... Xeros, he doesn't know yet. He's outside.
I think he does know, Jesper.
Rose comes back. Yes.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. Rose looking out the window, like
I saw him.
Decapitate the vampire, yeah. The
vampire's head off. I'm like, you know, watching him. It's like turning to dust, right? It's just rotting away.
Turning to dust, yeah. It's just like rapidly. Whether... Well, yeah, just turning to dust, basically. Not even like embers, but dust.
I think like whatever bits are left, he's like slamming into the ground with his greatsword. And then when the greatsword is plunged too deep in the earth for him to be able to pull it out again, he like is then stabbing at it with like the devil dagger. What's it called? The blade of Nessus.
Nessus. Yeah.
And I think after like the fourth sort of whack with that blade of Nessus, he's then kind of looking at that quite curiously. Kind of, he knows the origin, he knows the power that
knows about the church, holds,
and he knows about the church. He's thinking about that for a while, a long while.
Okay. So that's what Rose sees. Ismark doesn't. He just watches Xeros. He doesn't interfere, but you can see him kind of watching, and he kind of sheathes his blade and just kind of stands there quietly. But it looks like he's not going to leave Xeros on his own for now. He just kind of waits, kind of keeping back. You make your way, Rose. You can see that Shadow and Irina are still kind of crouched by the body, Jesper standing beside them.
Knowing what I do about vampires and that he was trying to crawl back up the hallway...
Mm-hmm.
I would know that there is a coffin that needs to be dealt with. Would I? I would know that.
Well, I would say that based on your profession, you got a decent roll. I can't remember if you got a good roll or not on the last one.
I used my ability. Yeah.
Yeah. In that case, I would say you would probably guess. Make a straight up either intelligence or wisdom check. Just d20 plus your intelligence or your wisdom. Either one of those. Whichever is better.
15. Primeval awareness on it.
Yeah. And I'm guessing you used wisdom because that's your highest stat, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's less kind of based on what you know, what you've been taught, and your own gut intuition. The fact that he was trying to escape outside would imply to you that the coffin is elsewhere, that it's not in this building. And that leads to the question of, so why was that vampire spawn here? What was it doing here? Why would it leave its coffin so far away if it wasn't in the building particularly? That's, you know, I'll give you that as like a Sherlock moment of like, huh, that's kind of a weird thing. Why would he do that? And I don't think his coffin's here.
I think I'll go, while they're looking, go up the corridor and have a look in some of it. Because there was another corridor that Jesper didn't go towards, I believe.
Yeah, there was. There was the one that he came out of that nobody... Zeki kind of popped down in there but didn't actually fully look into. Cool. I mean, you guys are not under any threat. You guys can explore the house as you need to when you want. I'm going to... This is an odd request. I would like all of you guys to not listen into a conversation I'm going to have with Rhee for a minute. Trot, I don't know if you can...
I'll take my headphones off.
You can take your headphones off, or like try and mute you.
Can anyone lip read?
I can mute.
Can you mute all of us?
Okay. All right.
Will that stop them hearing, Trot? That's the question.
They can't hear. I don't want them to. They can keep talking, but they can no longer hear anything, right?
Okay.
I can hear you.
They can't hear.
So can you? So you guys can't hear me right now.
I can hear you.
Kim isn't done yet.
I can hear you.
Wait, you can all hear.
I can still hear.
Okay.
I know what I'm doing wrong. Okay.
I can hear everything. Okay.
You guys could just take your headphones off.
Just take your headphones.
Everyone, take your headphones.
Stop waving when we're back.
Yeah, I'll wave at you. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So Rhee, as Zeki is walking amongst the mists and the fog, you begin to see shapes take form.
Okay. Child of joy, 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 joy. You are lost.
The shapes begin to take on the form of different creatures. You see one that almost looks like a giant spider, like an arachnid. One that appears like a very irregularly tall woman, her limbs far too extended, her hands and legs all far too longer than they should be. You see almost like a giant slug-like creature, as well as a man with a hunched back, and they all speak in this unanimous, echoed voice to you. We can still hear the map, trot, you dangus. But they they speak to you.
Okay.
Your life has been cut short. The devil must be stopped. We can help you. We can give you the power to return.
Ooh. I would very much like to return. And if I could stop Strahd, that would be amazing. But is this not the right path for me? Maybe I was weak. I made mistakes. Perhaps I should be here. Perhaps this is what is right for me.
Give you strength. Strahd will kill your brother. His rage will blind you. You must stop Strahd. Strahd is dangerous. He wishes to escape. We cannot allow that. How do you know that? With us. We have watched this place. We are the warden. Make a pact with us. We will give you the power to return, strength to fight, protection, and when Strahd is gone, we will give you Barovia.
I think hearing about Xeros, she's... Mm-hmm. I think Zeki's gonna... She's gonna want to take that, I think. Hearing that she wants to protect her brother, she would protect her.
Sensing this agreement or this kind of, like, willingness, one of the forms... And they're shadowy and not quite fully there, like they're echoes of something. They're vestiges, slivers of a greater thing that you can sense, that you've sensed since you arrived in Barovia. These things, and there's, you know, dozens of them, but their forms will shift and change. They are the mists. The mists themselves are these things. And you begin to feel this crawling coldness spread up your arm. We'll come back to you in a bit.
Are we back? We're back.
All right, you're back. Done? You're back. You are. Well, you're back. You're back. Welcome back.
Okay, Ree, what happened?
So,
hello.
Xeros and the rest.
That's everything.
Plan.
Zeki is now Strahd.
The nice thing is I don't even need to tell Rhiannon anything. I know Rhiannon's not going to tell you anything and just nod because I know Rhiannon's like, yep.
So, she's probably a demon now, but that's fine.
I'm going to...
Well, you don't know. Stuff is happening.
He's not.
Based on what we just talked about before of like, not sure if Xeros knows or not, I'm just going to instinctively go and look out the window and see what he's doing. And also,
stamping.
Whilst walking there, say to everyone that's up here, if they're still around. I don't know if Rose went off, actually. Is it just Shadow?
Yeah, Rose is in the... down the corridor.
Yeah, I don't know if how far I am yet, but...
Yeah, you're far enough.
Regardless of the tragedy that's happened, I don't know why I've gone Austrian.
sounding a little arny.
Oh,
there.
No. Yep. I can't go back.
What's the matter? It's Mark. Strahd got you pushing too many pencils.
No!
I can't do it. I don't have to go back in.
Everything's gone now. Jesper.
I'm okay.
Perhaps if it helps, if you do more of a sort of Voroshka kind of.
Yes.
Okay. Now more than ever, friends, I think it's important to stay together, regardless, and keep an eye on Zeros. He's important to us, and what he does next is very important. We need him, and he needs us. Where is he?
Now go. That's a great question. Well, what? Is Zeros gone anywhere?
Or
is
the ground outside? Just going nuts. Yeah,
I guess when you look outside, I'm like on my knees, like looking at the dagger, but there is like huge waves of dirt that has just been cut out of the ground where this vampire was. And like there's a broadsword. How many broadswords do I have now? Two? I guess they're both just embedded in the ground. And I'm slowly kind of like getting up again.
Ismark. Will, he doesn't touch you, but you can feel he kind of like approaches you.
I am sorry, my friend. I cannot imagine the pain of losing someone like that so close to me. I don't know what I would do if it was Irina in her place. But whatever I can do to help you get revenge, to make this right, I'll do it. That's what you need. I know I'd do anything to get my sister back.
She isn't gone yet. I'm like cradling the dagger, kind of almost really close to me, like closer than normal, and also trying to wrench the broadsword out of the ground.
Yeah, I mean, you can pull it free. Yeah, Ismark doesn't seem to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ismark doesn't seem to notice the dagger, but he puts his hand on your shoulder and he kind of crouches down.
There are places in this world. There are powers here. If there is anywhere that can bring the dead back to life, somebody in Barovia will know how. I don't know if they can be trusted. I don't know if they're under the sway of the devil, but you're right. She's not gone. You can bring her back, I'm certain of it, friend. I'll give you a moment. But if there's something you need to do, don't hesitate. Do what you must. You must stay true to the people that are close to us. He kind of pats you on the shoulder, and then he starts making his way inside and opening the main door. Leaves you kind of for the moment. Yes, but yeah, you return to the rest. For Rose, who went off exploring, you find that if you spend a few minutes exploring this upper hall, you find a number of kind of buildings. I'm going to try and just put the lighting so you guys can see everything.
Okay.
Global illumination.
I guess it's like you should fully explore at this point, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if that's worked.
Yeah.
Man, that skull and crossbones next to Zeke's icon.
Oh, yeah, that's worked.
Right. So, there's a couple of things you notice. One is the chamber that the vampire spawn came out of appears to be a library. It has been trashed. Books have been pulled off of it. Many of them discarded. It looks like somebody was searching for something in here. Opposite the library, and Rose, you are the first person to notice this, there's another door directly opposite. And when you open it, it leads into a abandoned bedroom. It looks like the room wasn't occupied when the attack on this mansion took place. But the thing that immediately draws your attention in the dark, dim light of whatever torch or light source you have is that there is a shelf and table and cabinet and, you know, bedside and bed, and that is covered in tiny stitched handmade dolls, and every single one of them looks identical to Irina. It is unmistakably Irina. The girl that you have met and have been accompanying. Different outfits. Some of them wear Barovian dresses. Some of them wear more sort of hunter's clothes. One wears a white wedding gown. But they are all unmistakably Irina. Hair color, eyes, skin. Just like even like her little beauty mark and things like that. All exactly the same.
That's fucked up.
The last thing of note, you also see what Jesper found. You find the room with the wedding dress. You find a bathroom. And in the master bedroom where there was clearly people were killed and dragged out, the thing that Jesper didn't notice when he first went in there is that there is a rooftop, like an attic trapdoor that a ladder can be pulled down from that leads into an attic above.
Can I go back to the creepy doll room and just can I go via the group and just say to Shadow and Jesper, can you come with me just a second? Irina, would you mind staying with Zeki?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course, my friend. I don't really want to leave her right now.
Ismark comes upstairs.
What have you found?
I'll take them to the doll room without bringing Irina or Ismark.
Mm-hmm.
And just I don't know.
You point.
Assess this, please.
Creepy dolls.
What this is Irina. All of
this. This is creepy and eerie.
This is rather unusual.
Do you pick up any of the dolls? I don't think you have so far. You haven't picked up any of the dolls yet, have you? Okay. Just tell me if you do.
No, I don't want to.
What a thing to say. What a thing to say, Mark.
The dolls are creepy
like
enough.
It's almost like I know how to push your buttons a bit, isn't it? It's almost like I know.
The dolls are creepy enough on their own. I don't need to touch it to know that it's creepy. Thank you.
Zeros, what are you doing? I want to know. While they're investigating creepy doll room, I got like a nice
I'm going in there to it and I'm... Yeah, I'm going to go into that room and pick up a doll. No, I'm going to come into the house and I'm going to start coming up the stairs and I guess I'll see Ismark and Irina. I suppose what they see is like the slowest walk. Like I'm coming up the stairs as slow as possible because the moment I see it, the moment I see the body, like there's a really broken look in his eyes for like a second that quickly turns to anger. Like everything tenses up and then it's like conflicting again and it's like changing and every second they look it's like a different emotion. And it's like everything stopping him from just like punching a wall or breathing acid all over the damn place or so yeah, I'll come up and I guess see Zeki's body and then two around it as well.
Yeah. Irina makes her way over to you and as she gets closer, that effect from the ring, that sort of comfort, that sense of things being right does help a little bit as she kind of gets closer. And she just places a hand on like your chest and rests her forehead kind of against your big broad chest and just kind of whispers through like some muffled sobs like of her own. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I mean, it's unlike Zeros, but he's a little speechless.
Mm-hmm. definitely unlike Zeros.
Yeah. He's just not really saying anything. He's just unbroken gaze against Zeki, and like he knows she's there, but like tunnel vision.
Yeah, I think Irina might have covered up most of her body with like her cloak that she was wearing, so like the kind of like horrid withered like arms and body and stuff is all hidden by this cloak, but the face is uncovered. Like you can still see her face and it looks deathly shrunken and ill, her eyes black, and you just feel that intense heat from the dagger that you're clutching. That heat almost becomes like a pulse, like a
Is that irregular to normal, or is it actually like?
Maybe you don't. You're not sure if you noticed it before, or if it's just started happening. But
or if I'm starting to really properly attune with it.
Yeah. Maybe.
All going
right. What about doll room? Any doll room crew? Anything you guys?
Cut to me doing a full theatrical performance, Punch and Judy style, with all the dolls.
I'm on Rina. Yep.
No, I don't do anything. I'm just very taken back by it all. They Who said she's important, right, to Strahd, and that souls something is not right.
Can I make some sort of check as to ascertaining what the dolls mean or what they represent? Or
sure.
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
What kind of
insight? I guess.
Insight. Okay.
Yeah. If you're trying to ascertain like the meaning of something, I'd say make an insight check. It's more for reading body language normally, but insight check. I'd say. I mean,
eight.
Just looks like a bunch of like child's dolls. Like they look like small little dolls made for a small child, like, you know, a little girl or a little boy who wanted to collect a bunch of dolls, but it's just they're all the same person.
I think the question to my mind is, were these brought here by the vampire spawn? Were they here when the Burgomaster was here? Is this part of, well, Strahd's plan?
Rose, I would say that with your kind of nature as a hunter and a tracker, there were no tracks. Like, there's a fine small amount of dust kind of in this room that indicates it's undisturbed for at least a week, maybe longer.
Ooh. I will relay that. I can't remember, did we figure out when the Burgomaster was killed?
About a week to 2 weeks ago.
There was also an attic. I haven't gone up there yet, but a wedding dress in another room. There's a doll with a wedding dress on it. There's an attic. Arena as a doll over and over again. We know that Strahd wants her. Now there's a wedding dress. I just...
Attic
seems
wedding.
Like a very unhealthy obsession with Arena. Specifically Arena.
How old is the devil, would you say, Jesper?
Centuries. We don't know for sure. He's been alive longer than all of us. Madame Eva knew something more, but it's not something you ask. He just always has been.
Do you know if he has taken brides before?
You would know that he has definitely taken girls. He's never married or, like, had brides, but he has definitely taken many lovers. Not just girls, sometimes young men that he finds interesting and attractive as well. But bride implies a certain level of commitment that you do not believe the devil to have.
This is a fixation that his small flings and appetites haven't even come close to. This is more than that.
So, is it Burgomaster's fantasy, or is it Strahd's fantasy? Mark, can I pick up one of the dolls?
Yeah, you pick it up.
Look at his face! Doll.
Pick it up, it's a small doll. It has no real movable joints, but it's incredibly well made. It's beautifully well made. The clothing has all been handmade, and there is a small little tag on the inside of the clothing that says, "Is no fun."
You made it.
Is no blinksy.
Is no blinksy.
Is no fun. Is no blinksy.
I feel we need to pay a visit to this Blinksy, who is definitely making toys out of children's bones or some such. but yes. I'm starting to get a feel for this land that we're in. Yes, but I don't mean to offend, but apart from yourself and your fellow kin, I don't feel that there is a healthy mindset here.
When you're born to lands of darkness, you don't have much choice to bring joy, like Zeke did. What's Blinksy? Looks like he tried.
I'm not feeling much joy from these dolls.
I don't think Blinksy is not bringing joy to me right now. This is obsession and very, very odd.
As a small detail, the dolls are not creepy. Like, apart from the fact that they all look like Irina, they are not, like, their visages. They are creepy, but their visages are not creepy. They are not, you know, haunting in it. Like, they are not made to look creepy. They are very pretty, and they're very nice. Like, something a child would enjoy playing with. But they are creepy by their nature, yes. I give you that.
Have you ever been in a room that's just full of dolls? Like, the glass eyes?
Oh, yeah, dude, my nan collects dolls. Like, I hate
it. Doesn't matter that it's not made to look like a freak show, but just being in a room full of inanimate, staring objects.
But what I mean is that they look like a child would genuinely... This would be a lovely toy for a child. Xeros, anything you want to do out in the corridor? I know you're currently, you know, going through the emotional trauma, but is there any actions you want to take or anything you want to decide to do?
So, I mean, the thing is, like, as far as Xeros is concerned, right, this Church of the Ruby Rod is filled with cultists and creepy evil people. Like,
maybe it was a little while ago.
Oh, right, okay. So it is quite late.
Here for a little bit of time. Yeah, it's at least been like an hour or 2 hours or so. Like, by the time you got here, by the time you kind of crept through the streets, by the time you had to fight, by the time you've done everything else, like, you've probably had like 2 hours or so. They might have.
Okay.
You don't know.
Because I'm just trying to figure out if the logical steps of making this work, if it does actually make sense that Xeros knows that, like, to go there.
I think that Xeros, everybody has at least a basic understanding of who Asmodeus is and knows that devils make deals, and out of all the devils, Asmodeus is the deal maker. When you need something so desperately that you're willing to make a deal with the devil, they have the power to make almost anything happen. But there might be some there might be some strings attached.
Mind.
But everybody kind of has that knowledge. And in terms of, like, will there be cultists there? You don't know. Is Xeros afraid of cultists? Or is Xeros like, I want my sister back, I'll kill them all if they try and stop me? That's another question for you as a player.
That's fair. Okay, in that case, I think in the time that they're, you know, playing with dolls and stuff, I'm going to pick up Zeke's body and sort of say to Irina and Ismark,
would you even say anything?
Something along the lines of that Zeke will be back and that Xeros might see them again. and then basically start making his way out of the building with
Irina calls. She's like, Xeros, wait, and Ismark stops her. He's like, no, sister, let him go. He knows what must be done. And he just nods at you. He gives you like a proper warrior sort of like, you got it, bro.
Oh, you know what? Me, Ismark, and Skelly, bro.
His only friends.
Yes,
and you begin making your way down and out, and I'm guessing you're going to the church.
Would we have heard that? Or at least heard
You're talking to
Irina. Well, I'm sure we would have heard Irina shout
I think
out,
that like... let's shall we say, Kim, for the sake of dramatic effect, no, you didn't. Shall we say that for the dramatic effect of Xeros having a cool going off on his own thing, that no, you don't hear, you're having a conversation. No, no, that's true.
Maybe you hear, her say, like, Xeros stopped by that point, like, I'm...
Yeah.
It could be anything.
He's already out. He's down the stairs and out. And yeah, yeah, you guys can hear Irina, but... Yeah. Okay, yeah, so you're like...
No, I'm not. I'm not sprinting.
No. No.
Well, y'all.
Hey, you guys can hear Irina Terminator, if you want.
Terminator walk. You know, that really fast Terminator walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What about Doll Crew? Do you guys react? Is there anything you want to do?
Can I make my way towards what you said was like the attic?
Yeah.
Thing in ceiling.
Yeah, it's in the master bedroom.
Yeah.
By this point, Xeros and Zeke are probably downstairs.
Yeah, wouldn't you notice that they're gone? Door.
Yeah, you would. You'd see that Zeke's body's gone.
Oh, okay. If we go past there, then I'd probably
stop. You have to basically go past those guys. Irina looks. Ismark will step forward. Like, if you look like you're wondering where Zeke's going, like, if any of you are like, you know, ask, Ismark is just like, I think that Xeros needs to have a moment with her. I think he needs to process this. He needs to come to terms with it on his own.
Of course.
He wants to believe that she can come back.
What?
He wants to believe that she can come back.
Right. I don't think that's good. Anything that comes back here doesn't come back quite right.
If you could bring Ava back, would you?
No. No, I would not. It was her destiny.
Then you're a strong man, Jesper of the Vistani. I'm not sure I could. And he looks at Irina. If I lost somebody I cared about, I think I would do anything to bring them back. Even in this place.
Sometimes things that they come back as could be worse. Sometimes it's best for them not to. I worry that, especially in this place, that would be very much the case. But I understand.
He just kind of, we must all follow our own path. Trust me, there are things here that I understand what you mean, but... Barovia is a land of ancient magic. Not everything is vampires or... sometimes people just come back with... I don't know.
You were with us, though, earlier when you saw Nikolai, correct? The man with the undead eyes and the monstrous arm. I understand the nobility behind it, but given where we are and given that we are stood in a village that has people who have come back on a pact with Asmodeus...
He looks quite sternly. If you wish to go and stop your friend, I won't get in your way, but... We only have a few things to cling to here, Mistress Shadow. Some of us can't bear the thought of losing what we care about.
Even if they came back as a monster.
Love is unconditional.
Yes.
He just gestures to the stairs like, if you want to go and stop him. But Ismark shows no sign of moving himself.
Those are words of the Dark Lord himself. Did he not have the same unconditional love?
I don't know, did he? You know more about the devil than I do. Your people served him and were his favorites for a long time. But is it so wrong to love someone even if they are sick or if they are... they have their moments of evil.
I think we're all stricken with grief, and we need to take some time to recover. Let's support Zeros.
We also need to find what you came here looking for. No matter what is... I do not think that Zeki or Zeros would want you to give up on that search. There's a tool here, something that can help you and me and Irina fight against the devil. Perhaps our energies are best spent looking for that.
You're right, yes.
There is an attic room we haven't looked in. Zeki's death won't be for nothing. We need to make sure that we get all that we can from this place.
Yes, sir. What are we looking for again? What was it that the reading said that we would find here? Something about the past or knowledge or
knowledge.
Something?
Knowledge of the ancient. Something to do with finding a house of corruption, which I think we successfully did. A dark room full of still ghosts.
Well, perhaps Ismark and I can search these rooms. Rose, I know that you have searched through them, but perhaps a more detailed investigation. Perhaps you and your friend should check upstairs.
Wait, still ghosts? It reminds me of the dolls, does it not?
What dolls?
There's... I'll go check. You wait here. Search the rest of the place. Look for something
All right.
And Irina will go off in the direction of, like, the bathroom and the dressing room. Ismark will go with her. As you guys begin, what do you guys want to do?
We need to collect the dolls and make sure she doesn't see them.
I'm kind of just wondering.
There's like 100 dolls. There's like 100 of them.
Okay. We can't hide those. Is it wise to maybe let them know?
Maybe.
I don't know how to approach the subject, but also we all know that something is going on. Why else would Strahd want Irina? This is another piece of information that we might be able to use to our advantage somehow, as creepy as it is.
Well, let's take one and hide it. And then look for, in that room, something to do with knowledge. Quickly.
There's the library across from it. Okay. But also, yes. We can have a look. But then we have to go up this attic.
Okay.
Right. So you guys go to search the doll room?
Yeah.
I don't know that Shadow would be happy with Zeros going off. I don't know that she would stop him. But I just feel that she would be attached to Zeki, like, wanting, you know, because she knows about grief, right? She knows about the moment of grief when someone dies. And I feel like it's in her remit that she would be concerned for Zeros and almost wanting to counsel. But I don't think she would stop him, but at least just be there. Like, so I don't know if she would just go after him or not. Hmm.
I mean, it sounds like Shadow is weighing that up as the others are searching around, and sounds like that is playing on your mind.
Yeah, because
unless you have a decisive, like, Shadow is going to go after him, like, that is what I would do. Like,
can I
still change your mind. You can in the future. Yeah. There's windows
window
all around this place.
Like, see how far where he is, like how far he is.
Well, if you go to the bedroom window, I would imagine that he's around the side of the house, and if you kind of make your way to the front of the house to look out the window, you can see the smashed window that he jumped out of. You see him down the street walking back towards the inn. You see him, like, with the body walking back towards the inn's direction.
I think Rose would probably pick up on what Shadow was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you see Shadow go to the window and is, like, looking out and looking out into the darkness. And only Shadow can really see. And that's, like, you're just seeing, like, the very dark shape you know is Zeros, like, in the darkness.
I think that Zeros needs to be alone. I think he has a lot of anger And I worry that what you might say just now might not be helpful to him, but it might be soon.
It's not that I want to stop him. I just fear that he's about to do something very stupid. I have experience with grief. I have experience with the anger and the stupidity, the stupid things people do in the moment of experiencing it. And I just think here in this village, where there is a church to the ruby rod, to the demon, the devil that makes deals, I think he's about to do something very, very silly. And I don't know whether to be witness to it or not.
And on that note, can I ask you all to remove your headphones again, except for Rihanna?
Oh, man.
Way. Hi, Ree. Hi, Ree.
Hello. Hello.
So, as you are standing there, you feel this cold numbing kind of beginning to trace up your limbs. And then a shadowy ink pen, like a quill, like a feather, begins to form in your hand. And an ethereal-looking parchment begins to roll.
The pact will grant you power and protection against the undead. But you must serve us and rid this world of Strahd. You must prevent him from escaping Child's Joy. He forged a pact.
What happens when all of this is over? What happens if we succeed?
Then we will give you Barovia. You shall become its new ruler, to rule as you wish.
I could bring joy back. I could help this place find happiness again.
Joy. Yes. But you must stop his plan. You must stop him escaping. You must destroy him. This is our covenant.
I suppose it's what I came here to do.
He will kill your brother if you do not. His rage will lead him to Strahd, and Strahd will strike him down.
Okay, Viziros, I'll do it. Viziros.
You must first sign our pact as you understand it, and then attest. We will place you on the road back, and you must walk it. Only if you have the strength to return will you re-enter your life.
Okay. What will this test have? What will it be?
You must walk the path. That is all we can tell you.
Okay, I've just got to walk on a path like I just did. That'll be fine. I've done that, I've walked before. I like walking. Each step will represent a struggle of life and death.
To master undeath, you must have lived. Our covenant is made. Our pact is signed. Child of joy, you are now undying.
And you feel your body pulled, and a single road opens up on the mists ahead of you.
I love it! Yeah!
Yes! Please do that thing again when bad stuff happens and she just goes nuts about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So she's a level 20, like, what was it, Alzra?
Yeah, she is Asmodeus.
So,
yeah.
Those of you in the house, what's the plan? So I heard some, Jesper was going to search the doll's room, so we know that Jesper's going to do that. Rose and Shadow were hanging out by their window, trying to decide what they wanted to do. What's the plan?
Can I do a search, please?
Yeah, you can make an investigation check. In the doll's room. Investigation.
17.
Very good. Nice.
You spend a few minutes. So this is, it takes some time, right? You're going through drawers. You're like pulling things down. And there's a couple of things you find. First of all, you brush some of the dolls off of a wooden chest and open it up. And inside, you find a suit of scale armor and two short swords, both designed for a very burly, very broad-shouldered person. But one of the arms has been removed, so it looks like the arm would be completely free and unsleeved, and then the other arm would be armored. And it looks very large. And then the short swords are very imposing and intimidating. They have like barbed hooks on like parts of the blade and things like that. Very nasty looking weapons. But apart from that, those two things, and the dolls, and then a few changes of clothes and some boots, you don't find anything else of any real value in here.
What was the armor called?
It's just scale armor.
Scale armor.
It's just scale armor. It's medium armor, I believe.
Scale mail.
Good for a little.
Scale mail, yeah, scale mail.
And the swords, Rose, what would you cast those?
It would be short swords, just short swords.
For a little crustacean arm, wouldn't it?
Rose and Shadow, what about you guys? While Jesper is searching.
Yeah, so I think having some kind of guidance from Rose, well, not guidance, but sharing of opinions with Rose, I think. Shadow will watch until Xeros is out of her eyesight.
Out of view.
And then just, I don't know, very unhappily turn away and follow whatever Rose does. Like, she's very distracted. She's very, like, worried.
I just want us to make the most of what we have here, find what we need to find, and then as soon as we do, we should check on him. Give him a moment, and then check on him. Did you see where he went? I can't see that far.
He went off towards the inn.
Then we can go back there. Let's quickly search what we can and go to the inn. At least he's not going to the church.
Find him there. geographically speaking, is that in the...
It's in a different direction.
How much do you remember of the map? Is it in a direction? Yeah, sure. It's in a different direction. Yeah.
Shadow doubts.
From what I remember, it was like the inn where we were, and we went across to get to the Burgomaster house where we are, and the church was way up a hill in a different direction, from what I remember of the map.
Sure. That sounds great. Yeah, that's what Rose remembers of the map. So yeah, no, I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm not saying you're right, I'm saying that that's very in character, that's what you're role-playing, and yeah, absolutely, I fully support it.
Like, Shadow has doesn't mean it's true. Heart, given her experience with...
So, the question is, though, is what are you doing?
I'll follow Rose.
Yeah. All right, Jesper?
I'm closing the door, and then I'll go into the library opposite and start rummaging through that.
Sure, okay. So Rose and Shadow, you guys probably kind of pass the corridor and you can see Jesper kind of making his way into the library to rummage around. But he's going into the library.
These, I believe the husband of the Burgomaster, the new one, owns this.
Nikolai.
So...
With the arm.
I don't know if I should take it, but I'm taking it, so... I'm going to check in the library now.
I think we should be quick. We don't know when their church ceremony will end.
This is very important. If we don't get the knowledge, then all of this is for naught.
I'm going towards the attic. Okay, so I'll go towards the attic while he's...
I'll head
Shadow?
After.
Go with Rose.
Follow Rose.
All right.
Yes.
All right, Jesper, give me another investigation check. Rose and Shadow. Rose, it doesn't take much with like the hook of your longbow. You can hook the little toggle that opens the trapdoor and a ladder, wooden ladder, folds down like and locks into place. Jesper, you spend a good sort of like 5-10 minutes. Most of this place has been searched. Judging by the claw marks and some of the scorching, you suspect the dragonborn vampire was in here searching for something. It gives the impression that he was pulling books down, opening them, trying to find something in this room, but didn't find it. You find a variety of tomes and books, historical treatises. You find like books on grim fairy tales. You find books on manufacturing methods, but it's all fairly mundane. It's a good collection. Perhaps you maybe find one particularly rare book worth about 25 gold on herbal mixtures for, you know, common diseases and illnesses. That if you find somebody interested in those subject matters, you could probably sell for about 25 gold. But nothing really else. It's all fairly mundane here.
Okay, I'll head towards the attic then, collecting the things that are worth 25 gold.
Yeah, there's only one. There's only one book which is worth 25 gold. And then Rose and Shadow. Because then we're going to have a nice long bit with Xeros.
Nice.
Oh, my throat's going to love that.
Yeah. Huh? So, Shadow.
You made your choice for that voice there, Tom. You made your choice.
I know.
You should get a voice changer.
Oh, I should.
Geralt
I don't
mod.
Think they might do, yeah, Geralt mod, sadly. So I'm just trying to figure out
just
where
just cut a soundboard from The Witcher.
Hey.
So,
that's true.
Yelper, I'm going to move you up here just so you can see what's going on.
Yennefer.
So, the trapdoor and the ladder leads up. You might need to scroll up on Roll20 a bit, Trump. Leads into a dusty 20-foot square room. It's got a high-pitched ceiling that reaches its peak 20 feet above you. The wooden rafters are shrouded in cobwebs, except for an old table with an unlit lantern on it. There is a door in the south wall, and that is what you see. The door is actually open, actually, and appears to lead into a much larger space that is full of things. You can see the shapes of boxes and everything else in there.
Wow. Can I light the lantern or a torch so that we can see a bit
better? It's actually got oil in it. With a small strike of a tinderbox, you get this dull, waxy, yellow light that emerges from the lantern. And casting that over, you can see quite clearly. And if you peer through the door, you can see what appears to be, as you shine the lantern around, a large attic is full of old, forgotten things, all draped in white sheets that make them look like phantoms gliding in amongst all the rows of junk. Piled around them are barrels, crates, trunks, and old furnishings covered with cobwebs and dust. You can see a clear footpath through the maze, and what appears to be another open door on the other end of this cluttered attic chamber, and yes, the sheets do give it the sense of ghosts wandering around the room.
Silent ghosts.
There is certainly no noise out here.
I also cast light on the end of my, what do I have, a quarterstaff?
You've got plenty of light to fill this room up.
Yeah, and then just can I start wandering into the room?
You begin making your way along the footpath, and you can see that there are all sorts of trunks and chests and crates and barrels, all full of all different materials and everything else. It will take you some time. Like, you suspect that searching this place will take, with three of you, at least an hour to thoroughly search through everything. But there is also this open door at the other end of the room itself.
Oh, an open door, you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The far end.
Yeah.
You can see, not blood, but you can see almost what looks like scorch marks just on the edges of that doorway. Mm-hmm.
As if it's been opened and a trap has been set off, would you say? Or
maybe. It certainly looks like the door was opened, and then there is a kind of blackened scorch mark around the doorway itself. But from this distance, it's hard to see. Like, if you get closer, you might be able to see more.
Can I?
You go. But also, we've hit $1,000 in donations.
I did see. Thank I was going to so mention it. Thank you very much, everybody. So good job.
Amazing.
Excellent stuff.
Amazing.
You go.
Can I make my way towards the door?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, you look inside. You can see now that amongst the scorch marks around the door, tiny glyphs and runes had been engraved into them, but now they just look like scratches in the floorboards. Looking inside, you can see what appears to be a small study. There is a desk covered with a couple of rolled up scrolls. You can see a book with arcane writing is open on the main desk itself. There is... small workbenches with what appear to be several bones, perhaps of a cat. And in the corner, three dressmakers' mannequins dressed up as little students facing the wall.
What is it with this place?
It's there, goddamn dolls. Yeah, it's creepy, right? Yeah, that's what you see.
This is a lot to search through.
Yeah, it's going to take time.
I think there might be something useful in here if people understand glyphs better than I do. I'll go into this little room.
Into the room? Yeah, when you step inside, when you look to your right-hand side, you can see that a rug has been thrown up, like a rug that covered a corner of the room has been pulled up, and there is... what appears to be a sequence of sigils in a circle, but several of them have been cut out or like scraped over. They have been marred and disrupted in general. Some of them have been sort of like completely rendered unreadable. And it appears to be some sort of like magic glyph that has been defaced in some way. You begin making your way, looking around the room. You can see the two scrolls, the open book, and then this workbenches of dead cat bones and various other open journal.
Is there anything written in Abyssal in any of this? Or Celestial?
The runes on the floor and stuff like that, no. The book does not appear to be a language. Well, it's probably written as in a mixture of common and arcane sigils. It looks like a wizard spell book. It looks like the spell book of somebody who is learning magic. You can see several spells and notes and things like that. One page in particular seems to be dedicated almost entirely to some sort of incomplete spell that was never finished. And when you kind of reach out to touch it, you hear an echoey voice.
Please don't touch that. Please. Touch that.
Oh. And anyone else?
Does everyone hear that, or is it just chat?
Yeah. No. Everyone hears that. Yeah.
Oh, what was that?
Ah. Oh, good. Not Hello. Just me then.
No, no.
Sword.
Yes. Hello. Have you come to pick amongst the bones of what is left by my family?
My family,
like so many others.
So many others.
I'm surprised that the walking dragon has not eaten you yet.
He's dead.
Ah, at last, some good news.
Are you the original Burgomaster?
I suppose in a way I am, but I am also not. I would have become the Burgomaster after my father was killed, but that bitch Fiona Wachter has ruined that.
What happened?
Just to be clear, we're not here to pick through. We're trying to find a way to solve a lot of this. We're very aware of Fiona and far not Fem.
Yes, I don't imagine that you would. I'm surprised. Well, she is smart and clever, but she made enemies of the wrong people, especially me.
And your name is?
A talking cat. How interesting. You are most fascinating. Perhaps if I can find a way out of my predicament. Yes, I could study. My name is Viktor Velakovich. The true heir, I suppose, of Velaki. Do not worry, I am not some phantom or ghost haunting the place. I am trapped.
You look around, there's nobody here. Yeah, this voice is echoing weirdly, and there is clearly nobody in this room.
How are you trapped?
Let us just say that my magical experiment was conducted at the worst time possible. I was unable to return before Fiona ruined my circle.
Circle. Try the rug over there, Ross.
It's already uncovered. The rug's already moved. Yeah, you can see that there was this ruined magic circle underneath it.
Yes, that one. How she knew about it, I don't know, but she knew exactly what to do to disrupt the magic and prevent me from returning.
Where are you stuck? I would not expect simpletons like you to understand.
But needless to say, I am stuck.
Right.
I imagine it's some sort of teleportation circle to another plane. Are you stuck?
The cat is perhaps the smartest one. Something like that. The ethereal, the border ethereal, to be precise, is one of the few planes that can be accessed from the earth. I was attempting to escape this miserable prison. It seems that my calculations were incorrect. Now I'm stuck. Of course, Cat, if you are truly smart, perhaps we can make some sort of arrangement. I have a few things that I can assist with. All I need you to do is kill Fiona and complete my circle.
I mean, I don't particularly want to end up like my brethren down here, and I point on the bench of cat bones.
Oh, no, I'm quite done studying anatomy and animation of the dead. No, you are more interesting as a specimen to study alive.
It seems you are on the back foot of negotiations. If you want to come back, you need someone on this side to help you.
Either you will help me or you will not. I am not really here to bargain. You are either an enemy of Fiona Vakta, or you are just here to loot the house. And quite honestly, I cannot stop you, not from where I am. But I could be of help. My magic is quite powerful, and no doubt you'll have need of a man of my arcane skill in this place. I could be quite the ally if I wasn't stuck.
And with that, I'm just going to quickly cut to our good friend, Xeros.
Angry friend.
Xeros.
Yeah.
You friendly slowly make your way through the darkened streets of Velaki.
Yeah.
Whatever lights are on in the houses as you pass quickly dim as they see your shape moving through the streets carrying Zeki's body wrapped in the cloak. You are undisturbed. You do not encounter clockwork men or soldiers or guards. And eventually you wind your way towards the church that sits at the top of a small hill overlooking the rest of the town. You approach its tall wooden doors, its great Gothic arches looming over the head of you, and the dagger in your hand. It continues to pulse and beat like a heart. The doors are closed. But you can hear voices inside.
Well, then I'm going to start really slamming at the door.
Yeah. The pounding reverberates through the stone, and you hear Fiona Wachter's voice. Who is that? Who could that be? Get the door. And the doors are opened by a dusky-skinned woman with red hair that spills down her shoulders. She appears to be wearing priestess robes that tightly fit around her rather curvaceous body, and bears the symbol of three overlapping triangles. And when she sees you, she smiles. Ah, yeah. Come in, come in. Welcome to the Church of the Ruby Rod. She turns and begins making her way back, but you see beyond her, Fiona and a few of her guards look up in surprise. Fiona Wachter looks up. What is he doing here? What are you doing here, Drac? And she begins to kind of choke on her words as her eyes roll back and turn black. And you see the guards just fall to the ground, unconscious. But the woman just leads you, says, please, come. You've brought quite a little tribute to our church, I believe.
What has happened to them?
The Lord of this church wishes to speak with you, but he knows it will be problematic if they are conscious. And you see Fiona's body kind of snaps back, her eyes still completely black, but she smiles as she looks to you, and a very different voice emerges from her mouth.
Welcome, warrior. You have brought quite a little trinket back to my church. I am impressed. Come. Bring her before me, Xeros Mistan.
He knows my name. All right. I'll follow the only conscious lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she like gestures. I mean, she actually kind of like... yeah, she like places her hand on your back and sort of like guides you. It's all right. Everything is going to be fine. We're going to make sure that you are well looked after. You have carried my master's work with you quite carefully. We must make sure that you are treated with respect. And she smiled. Place her upon the altar. I trust you. I give you my word that she will be safe.
But will she be returned?
That, and she gestures to the body of Fiona Wachter, who now has pulled up a chair and sits in it, her fingers steepled.
Well, that, my dear warrior, depends entirely on an arrangement, if we can come to one for you. Are you willing to discuss terms?
Of course.
Good. I see that you care for her deeply, but you are a strong warrior as well. Make no assumptions. Make no I am not here to try and ensorcer you into some sort of unfair deal. I am bound by the laws of Primus himself to honor a contract as it is agreed with any person. We can come to an arrangement. I assume that you wish to see your sister return to life, correct?
Yes.
Well, I will lay my terms. You tell me if they sound good, yes?
I'm really, like, responding. I'm just kind of waiting for him to carry on.
A man of so few words. It is rare that I have the chance to speak with one who is not, well, Many people run their mouths at quite a speed when they speak with me. This is refreshing. Your sister will be returned to life, and I will bless her with my protection. Should she fall again, I will make sure that she is protected from an untimely death for a time. I will also give you a powerful weapon to defend her with, and I will share information with you about your enemy, Strahd von Zarovich. In exchange, you will give me back the Blade of Nessus and complete 3 tasks for me. 3 simple tasks.
And they are?
The first task will be to locate the soul of Tatiana, the bride-to-be of Sergei von Zarovich, and mark her with the weapon I give you. A single cut will do, nothing untoward. The second task will be to retrieve the dying embers of Strahd von Zarovich's soul, what little of it there remains, which can be found in the place that he surrendered it to forge his dark pact long ago. The third task will be to, on my command, return Strahd von Zarovich's soul to him. You agree to these terms and our pact is made? Well, I will ensure that your sister is returned to life, given the protection that I mentioned, and a weapon will be presented. If you fail to comply with these tasks, and you do not deliver them within, shall we say, a month's time, you will be met with forfeiture, which will be your soul and your sister's soul. I will erase Fiona's memory of seeing you at this church. I must ensure that my involvement with you and your companions is perhaps kept silent. So, how does that all sound?
When Strahd regains his soul, what then?
Your work will be complete. You will need do nothing more. Of anything you wish to do, if you wish to slay him in revenge, if you wish to butcher his servants, by all means, my dear Dragonborn, do as you wish. Do whatever your soul tells you. My business with you will be completed upon these 3 tasks. You and your sister will be free to live your lives whatever desire.
And she will still be Zeki.
I will return to her to life, and I will make no adjustments to her personality. The process of returning to life is dramatic. I cannot promise you that she will be exactly the same, but I will make no untoward or eldritch influence on my behalf.
As you think about this.
Yeah. Okay.
Zeki. You don't need to take your headphones off at this point. Zeki, okay. You begin walking this path laid out before you. And at the end of it, you can see the vague, shadowy shape of a church. You can see a shadowed figure holding you, your body in his arms, and you know it is your brother as he holds you close to his chest. The first step you take, you feel this crushing weight drive down upon your shoulders as it feels like earth, like a grave is being piled on top of your back as you try and move. You feel the weight of every mistake, every indecision, every time you have hesitated, pulled down on your body. Can you make a strength saving throw for me?
Yes, please.
What have you done?
Oh, 20, boy. Where was that last week?
Knowing that your brother is out there waiting for you, you forge forward, each step coming harder, but eventually you fall into a rhythm despite this crushing weight on you, and then almost as quickly as it come, it vanishes, and you gasp for breath as you take a few more steps. You take a few more, and this time you begin to see the shadowed figures of your past, other members of your clan, the people that you know had influenced what happened between you and Xeros. The shadowed memories of regrets, of anger, of jealousy reaching out to you as they lay their hands upon you and you feel them trying to tear at your mind and pull you away. You make a charisma saving throw.
That's an A.
You feel those envies, those jealousies. They begin to swell and form into an inky blackness that seems to coalesce and form, filling your arms with intense cold. Your hands shape into claws that you can't control. You manage to bat the figures away, but you can still feel that clinging jealousy, regret, kind of clawing at your chest as you continue forward. Xeros, back in the church, you see the form of Fiona Wachta staring at you with these pitch black eyes.
Well, my dear warrior, a fair deal, I feel.
Did he mention a time span? I might have missed a time span bit.
1 month to complete the 3 tasks. Of course, perhaps if I feel that you are making progress, I could extend it. But this is to ensure that you do not try and, well, keep the tasks indefinite. I think that only fair, don't you?
If she returns and she's not Zeki, the deal changes.
I'm afraid that that is beyond my power. I can only promise you that I do not have... I will exert no influence upon her return. But, of course, as a caring brother, you will be able to help her with any trauma. Your companions will be able to aid her with any sadness that returns with her, I'm sure. Whatever happens, whatever changes her, will not be of my doing. That is the best I can offer. But I represent one of your best chances to bring her back. The other powers here in Barovia, well, I cannot promise you that they will be as uninvasive as I am. They will corrupt her. They will change her. But I do not need you. You will perform these tasks for me. I will get what I desire through these tasks. The powers here in Barovia are not so kind. So, and Fiona holds out a hand, and you can see a blade, a thin blade made of black iron comes into it. We will bond it in blood, if you agree. A simple cut of the hand, forged in blood.
Yeah, in that case, I'll Nessus Dagger. May as well use that, why not?
And, I do like the poetry of it.
And I'll, I guess cut my hand.
You hold the blood in your hand. The woman, the priestess, holds forth a long scroll, which is written in a language you don't understand. She holds it below. Allow the blood to drip onto the page. And as you unclench your palm, the blood drop begins to fall. Zeki, you see that as last few steps, you can see your brother in front of you, the shadowy figures, the dark powers that had granted you this pact to return to life surround you.
Yes, child. Yes, child. Keep stepping forward, child of joy. Remember our pact, our covenant. You must destroy Strahd. You must prevent him from escaping. He has made a deal. He has made a deal to escape from this place with a power beyond. He constructs machines in his castle. He seeks to escape his prison, and you must stop him. Child of joy. And with those last few steps, you rush forward. You feel your body collapse as you are pulled into your body.
As the last bit of blood touches the parchment, Xeros, you watch as Zeki, her breath inhales, her eyes flutter open. Her form is still a little withered, but nowhere near as badly as it once was. Her form unnourished, but alive.
Well, our deal is sealed. I suggest you go return to your companions before this one, and he gestures to his body, to Vienna's body, before this one remembers.
Okay, I'll go pick up Zeki, I guess, help her stand and hold her.
Yeah,
very
you can see she's still weak. Yeah, you can still see she's still weak. Probably not enough to stand. Zeki, your kind of eyes are adjusting. You think you hear like a deep male voice. You appear to be in some sort of church, but your eyes, it's like there's not enough moisture. Like they're all too blurry and you can't quite see right, but you can feel Xeros is holding you. But those
I'll just be like
cold...
mumbling.
Yeah, go on.
I just be like mumbling, just like Xeros, destroy Strahd. Destroy Strahd! Xeros!
I'll turn to quote-unquote Asmodeus and so, thank you. Give me my weapon.
You will have it. He holds up a hand and in the hand that you're holding the blade of Nessus, the dagger is gone.
Thank you.
You keep forgetting the voice.
Hand, I keep forgetting it, I know.
It's brilliant. I love it.
You are the hand that was holding the blade of Nessus. The blade of Nessus is gone, but you feel something beginning to form. You feel a long, heavy grip as a huge sword begins to emerge, materialize through fire that burns through as... a long two-handed sword with a gap down the middle, a thin gap down the middle emerges. One side is made of a dark red metal. It has jagged parts of the blade and thick, crudely written infernal is ensorcelled down one side. The other half of the blade is made from pristine black metal with a very delicate script of infernal written down its side with a razor-thin edge. And the whole thing, you know, you can command to burst into flames. You may add the sword. He grins to your character sheet.
The, nice. The sword of what?
Oh, yeah.
It's called He Who Grins.
Yeah.
He Who
cool.
Grins.
That's dope.
That's awesome.
Oh my god.
Flame sword.
Okay. Zeki. As you are being carried out, Zeki, those jealousies. Those regrets, some of that despair, and those dark feelings, they do not go away, and they linger in your heart. And you now know that there is a part of your body that will never truly live again, as you feel that cold element of the undying sits within you in your chest, as you have forged a pact with the undying, and old Xeros has done it on his own.
So wait, we double packed?
We double packed.
Well, let me tell you this, Tom Hazel. Let me tell you something a little bit out of character, Tom Hazel. At no point did Asmodeus say he was the one who was going to bring Zeki back. He just said Zeki would be returned to life.
Oh.
You done got played, son!
Oh.
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 You didn't listen to the wording!
Packed bros.
I mean, look, yeah. I've got 7 charisma.
Yeah, no, you both played that very, very well. But yeah, you guys begin making your way out of the church, like rushing back, and we will rejoin our companions back in the Burgomaster's Mansion, as we do so.
Hey.
Let's just find this piece of knowledge. We don't need him.
Knowledge? What knowledge are you looking for?
Are you trying?
Yeah,
to
and there doesn't appear to be anything else in this room, by the way, apart from the spell, but the scrolls. There's no hidden cabinets or chests or anything like that that you can see.
We seek knowledge of the ancient.
My father collected many books from the history of Barovia. If you didn't find what he was looking for in the library, it's probably out amongst all the junk somewhere. But do remember, if you wish the aid of my magic, all I ask is to kill Bakhtiyar and restore my son. Good luck.
I've looked through the entire library. There's nothing of use there. Nothing about the ancient. Useful historical information, perhaps, but nothing specific to the ancient. And that room back there. So much stuff.
About the dolls. Are you still there? Of course you are. Where else would you be?
Yes, exactly. Yes, where else would I be? What do you wish to know? The dolls?
The dolls?
Ah, you're talking about Izek's creepy doll collection, I imagine.
Izek.
Yes. And who is that?
Izek was my father's enforcer, if you call it that. Bodyguard, perhaps. But he was really a criminal. A cruel killer with no soul who delighted in torturing and harming others. Had some obsession with the dolls. Spent all of his money and forcing the toy maker Blinksy to make them. Quite pathetic, if you ask me. But I suppose he's a brute. Strong.
Why this specific woman? Why are all the dolls one woman?
I don't know. Why would I know? I stayed away from the freak. He was a disgusting, bizarre man. Why would I care? I was not interested in his business. Only my own studies. My family were pathetic. I'm glad they're all gone now, and Izek with them. I remember seeing Fiona carting his body away back towards her mansion.
Yes, about that. He's not... Well, he's back, but perhaps with a different soul in him.
Nah, I always suspected Wachter was more studious than she let on. No doubt some sort of necromancer. Well played, old age.
You get a sense of like there's a sense of like admiration almost when you tell him that, like he's kind of impressed that she did that.
Necromancy though, ugh. Could I quickly make an Arcana check or something to see if I could figure out the circle or?
Yeah, you can make an Arcana check.
Is that something? Is it? Is that something a spellcaster could do?
Yeah, just make an Arcana check. Jesper and Rose, what are you guys doing whilst Shadow studies the circle?
I'm just going to try and ignore this guy and just continue to search through this room for any knowledge.
Yeah.
Like a book or something.
Yeah, right? I was going to do the same. I want to start looking for a book to see if we can find anything.
Well, Shadow, for your information, I mean, at best, some sort of teleportation magic, but the exact nature of which you're not really sure. You can tell that whatever it is, it has been purposely disrupted, and you would need to find or somehow learn the codes that recreate the circle. You'd have to remake whatever was there in the first place to do so. You're not sure if you know how to do that. It looks like several pages out of the spellbook have been taken as well. I'll give you as information as well. They seem to have been torn out. Rose and Jesper, it takes you a long time. Like, this room is so cluttered and full of stuff. But after about an hour and a half to 2 hours of searching, you find something. It is buried at the bottom of a chest, underneath piles of cloth and fabric, and it is a very, very old book. And I will find the book to show you if I can. Most of it is illegible, but there are some which you can read. And yes, beholding this book, this tome in your hands, it's like you can feel the echo of Ava. You know that this is what she sent you to find here. And I have just shared it with you on Roll 20. It's quite long, so you might, one of you might want to read it out loud. Or I could read it out for you if you wish to read it in Strahd's voice.
Don't know.
I'm easy.
All right, Trot, you read it.
Okay.
If you scroll down, you can actually read it.
Freaking God.
It's quite long. It's a lot of it.
It's quite long.
There is a lot.
Fucking hell. Siri, play this back at 10 times speed. I am the ancient. I am the land. My beginnings are lost in the darkness of the past. I was the warrior. I was good and just. I thundered across the land like the wrath of a just god. But the war years and the killing years wore down my soul as the wind wears stone into sand. All goodness slipped from my life. I found my youth and strength gone, and all I had left was death. My army settled in the valley of Barovia and took power over the people in the name of a just god, but with none of a god's grace or justice. I made them swear their souls and the souls of their children to me, forever bound in service and gratitude, all written in blood. Throughout this, Jesper is giving some glances at anyone listening, like, this is pretty fucked up. I called for my family, long unseated from their ancient thrones, and brought them here to settle in the castle Ravenloft. They came with a younger brother of mine, Sergei. He was handsome and youthful. I hated him for both. From the families of the valley, one spirit shone above all others, a rare beauty who was called Perfection, Joy, and Treasure. Her name was Tatiana, and I longed for her to be mine. I loved her with all my heart. I loved her for her youth. I loved her for her joy. But she spurned me. Old One was my name to her, Elder and Brother also. Her heart went to Sergei. They were betrothed. The date was set. With words she called me Brother, but when I looked into her eyes, they reflected another name, Death. It was the death of the aged that she saw in me. She loved her youth and enjoyed it. But I had squandered mine. The death she saw in me turned her from me, and so I came to hate death, my death. My hate is very strong. I would not be called death so soon. I made a pact with death, a pact of blood. On the day of the wedding, I killed Sergei, my brother. My pact was sealed with his blood. I found Tatiana weeping in the garden east of the chapel. She fled from me. She would not let me explain, and a great anger swelled within me. She had to understand the pact I made for her. I pursued her, finally, in despair. She flung herself from the walls of Ravenloft, and I watched everything, as I ever wanted, fall from my grasp forever. It was 1,000 feet through the mists. No trace of her was ever found. Not even I know her final fate. Arrows from the castle guards pierced me to my soul, but I did not die, nor did I live. I became undead forever. I have studied much since then. Vampire is my new name. I still lust for life and youth, and I curse the living that took them from me. Even the sun is against me. It is the sun and its light that I fear the most. Little else can harm me now. Even a stake through my heart does not kill me, though it holds me from movement. But the sword that cursed sword that Sergei brought, I must dispose of that awful tool. I fear and hate it as much as the sun. I have often hunted for Tatiana. I have even felt her within my grasp, but she escapes. She taunts me. What will it take to bend her to love me? I now reside far below Ravenloft. I live among the dead and sleep beneath the very stones of this hollow castle in despair. I shall seal shut the walls of the stairs, that none may disturb me. But something stirs in my mind, a dark whisper, that this is not the first time I have told this story.
And with that, not only will we end today's session, but you will also all level up. As Jesper, you may now add the Tome of Strahd to your inventory.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Holy crap. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this will be the last level up I ever see. Undead.
Your soul live on in the palm of Asmodeus.
Zeros, don't forget that if you die and fail to complete the tasks, it's not just your soul that goes to Asmodeus. Zeke's soul.
That's true. Wait, what was that, Rhiannon?
Huh?
What'd you say then?
What?
Huh?
Did
what?
You say, where am I going to put that level?
She said, where's she going to put it?
Multi-class.
Put it into fighter. That's what you got, right? You got fighter?
Friends, that was a really fun episode. Thank that you for great. Playing. That was really that was a good one. That was a fun bit of
I was holding out a vague hope that Zeke would come back as a turtle. Just like it was a 5% chance.
Pray not. Praise that the dark powers of Barovia have another purpose for Zeke that does not require turtle form.
So we weren't allowed to listen during the episode. Like, if I was to listen back to this episode, am I allowed?
Oh, it doesn't matter now. Oh yeah, it doesn't matter now.
Okay.
It was basically just the whole.
It was so that you
she
didn't
was making
not make
a deal.
A pact, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now you've both got a pact.
Zeros wouldn't have known. Yeah, it was so that because Zeros wouldn't have known what she was doing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In short, it was Mark. Screw you over there, Tommy boy.
Mark played you. Mark played you, boy.
But, so what
Mark
you're saying
did nothing.
Is,
did it.
Mark gave me a sword that is the equivalent of two great swords in one.
It looks cool as hell.
Yeah, cool. Pretty cool, huh?
Sets on fire.
And it's a magic weapon. It's got some cool shit attached to it. He can do some cool stuff with it. It's pretty great,
I sell my soul.
And you gave up the Blade of Nessus. Really hope Strahd doesn't come looking for it.
Ew. Woo-woo. Where's my dagger?
Anyway. that was a really fun episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We hope that you at home enjoyed that. That was a really fun one. Let us know what you think. Second of all, thank you so much. We've currently the current total that I can see. Trot, do you have a more up-to-date total?
It's the total
than
right
the one
now.
On screen. That is the current total. So as of right now, unless anybody wants to, in the next 4 minutes, throw in a bunch of extra monies, we've currently raised about $1,224 for Black Lives Matter, which will go straight to the Black Lives Matter website, kind of charity fund, donation fund. So I'll go to those guys. We're going to be doing the same thing
we
on
will
Sunday,
be doing,
so,
yeah,
but only from the High Rollers D&D channel.
If you want to donate and support that, High Rollers D&D, that's the place to donate.
Yeah, because that's the money we control and is ours to do with as we kind of like fully want. So Yogscast obviously is a split, so we'd need to get their permission. But the High Rollers D&D stuff, we can just be like, hey, all of this is going to go to this charity, and that's what we want to represent.
Makes things easier.
Like I said at the start.
Find.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said at the start, if you can't donate, that's fine. You don't have to. We ask that you find another way to support those out fighting injustice, basically. Whether that's signing petitions, educating yourself, doing what you can, spreading the word,
amplifying Black people's voices as well. Just read up on a bunch of stuff. There's a lot of resources out there.
Ally.
That tweeted a document that has ally.wiki, which is a great starting point for a lot of those things.
Yeah, and it's a big part of it is acknowledging what you can change. Like I was just before we came on live, I was checking out a guy that I know, Critical Bard, had a bunch of people like Christina and Tanya that I know, along with a load of Black creators in the tabletop role playing sphere, and they were just having a round table talking about a bunch of stuff. I went in there, I learned a lot, like a lot of stuff where I was like, man, I'd never even considered that, or like, fuck yeah, that's something I should do more. And it's just acknowledging those kind of things that you can do, and you know. I don't want to bang on about it. That's just important stuff to talk about, right? It's important stuff to talk about. In terms of this episode,
and to listen.
Any thoughts on leveling up? Any thoughts on any potential multi-class ins or like?
I need to honestly sit and read for hours.
Yeah, sit for hours about it.
Shadow, you're going to get third level spells, so that's a new shiny thing for you.
Destroy undead.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Do I get anything?
Nice.
Extra attack. That's the big one for you and Rose will be two attacks now.
Oh, yes. I get to hit the other side of the board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very cool. Nice. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. We're gonna get out of here. Go and do good stuff. the good people. Bye bye.
Indeed.
And well done.
Thank you, everyone.
Well done.
Well done. Donations. Well done.
Thank
Yay.
You.
Yay.
Well done. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye.